come for a blessing, and we know there's one in store for you. I'm glad to see so many of these young folks here today. I love young folks. You won't remember my name, so I'll just give it to you. My name is Peter Nortier, but you remember me as Brother Pete. Can you do that? Let me hear you say, Brother Pete. All right, you remember that. Now, I'm going to give you a riddle. You know what a riddle is? It's something you got to figure out, isn't it? All right, I'm going to give you a riddle. And I trust you brought your Bibles, because the answer is going to be found in the Bible, and I'll tell you right now, you're not going to find it till tomorrow. Now, here's the riddle. There was a wealthy lady that had a man working in her house. And when he got through, we find that she was missing some valuable jewelry, and also she was missing some other things. And in her room, when she went to her bedroom, she found that her sheets were all wrinkled, and she had a very expensive basket as an ornament, and that basket was all scratched up. And she said, somebody stole from me. And they thought that there was they weren't sure, but they accused a man that was working in her house. Now here's the thing. She even had one of those cameras. She had a camera in her house that was taking pictures of those that would come in and out of the building. And they saw this man, and they saw him come in, and they saw him go out, and they never saw him take anything out, and they did see him bring some of his tools in, and then when it was all done, he opened his box, and he showed that all the tools were there, and nothing was missing. But she was missing the jewelry. She was missing something else. She didn't know exactly what it was, but she began to find it out, and she found out it was very valuable. Now, they accused this man. And when they examined, they looked at him and they said, they examined the camera or they examined the TV. They said, he didn't take anything out. We've seen him go in. He never took anything out. How in the world did he get missed? And so, at first, the police would say, he's innocent. But there was a young man that was there, and he was a Bible student. And he said, before you let that man go, you need to arrest him. He said, the answer is found in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. Now, you come back tomorrow night and let me know if you find it. And the first one that does, I'll tell you right now, I'll give you a dollar. All right? Now, you remember that. Don't do it now. Remember this. Acts chapter 9, you'll find the answer to that riddle. And you adults, you can look for it too, because when I read it before, I found out that the adults didn't find it any better than the teenagers. Now, how many of you brought your Bible? Let me see it. Wonderful. If you didn't bring your Bible, you're only half dressed. And always remember that, if you will. Whenever you come to church, bring your Bible, and I want you to follow with me as we turn to the Word of God. Turn to Matthew chapter 24, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 32 down through verse 39. I understand that today you were studying something about the days of Noah. Well, I'm bringing a series all week. This is the third one on the days of Noah. So tonight we're going to look at the days of Noah, and I hope that we can bring things out that you haven't heard before. And I want you to follow along with me. Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse 32. All right, if you brought your Bible, I want you to do with me. I want you to stand. Stand as I read the Word of God. We stand in respect to the Word of God. Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 32. Follow along in your Bible if you will. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that the summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now here's the text. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Shall we pray? Our Lord, tonight, sanctify this endeavor, make it acceptable in thy sight, give listening ears, attentive minds, and an open heart, and Lord, do whatever work has to be done. We believe there may be some here tonight that don't know thee, And we ask you, our God, be pleased to finger on their heart, open their understandings, and show them what it means, what is to be a lost sinner before thee, and then also show them what it means to be left behind when thou dost come after us. O our God, tonight, bless this service as never before, and get glory to thyself in all that's done. We ask you, Lord Jesus, for thy sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to tell a little bit about myself. I'll tell you right now, my name is Peter Nortier. I've been in the ministry for over 50 years. I'm old enough to be your great-grandfather. You say I don't look it. I'm 84 years old. Would you believe it? And not only that, I've had 4 bypasses and 3 stents in my artery, and I have 4 bypasses in my heart. I have a pacemaker, and they took out 3 feet of my intestine, and I'm still here. Like someone says, you don't have a heart, and you're too mean to die, so you're stuck with me. Now, why do I tell you this? Well, Brother Neil and Neil Taylor and his wife Edith, we are here from Michigan. I live in Grand Rapids, Michigan. They live in Elmont, Michigan, and I was their pastor for about 30 years. And then when I retired, I moved to Arkansas, and I came back after 12 years, and I'm living in Michigan now, and I got acquainted with Brother John Webb last year. That was my first time here, and now we're glad to be here tonight, and I'm glad to see all of you. I trust you've come for a blessing. Now, before we close this week, I'm probably going to tell you these words. I'm going to ask you this question. Will I see you in the rapture if I don't see you here on earth again? I hope that every one of you can say, yes, I'll be there. I write to a man in North Ireland. His name is George McCurdy, and I wrote him and told him, I said, George, I said, we may never meet on this earth, but we'll see you in the rapture. And he wrote back and he said, yes, I'll be in the rapture, but he said, I'll be too busy looking for Christ instead of you. I like that, don't you? All right, now, let's look at our subject tonight. The days of Noah. The days of Noah will come prior to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reality of this is seen in the completion of the ark, because when it was done, God judged the world with a flood, and we find when the work of God is done here on this earth, he's going to do the same thing. When the church is complete, the Lord Jesus Christ will come after it, and I'll tell you right now, that could take place tonight. How long before the Lord comes back? I don't know. He could come back tonight. He might stay away for 100 years. But tonight, for a few moments, I want to share with you 2 things. We're going to look at the conditions of the days of Noah, and then we're going to also look at the conspiracy of Satan then and now. You see, beloved, you better recognize one thing. There is a devil. There is a God. There is a devil. And the devil will do everything he can to keep you from coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And if you haven't done so, my hope is that the Holy Spirit of God will open your heart, young as you are, show you your need of Christ, and then bring you to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. It's the greatest thing that can happen to you if and when it does. Now, we're living in the days of Noah. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, the condition of the days of Noah are these. First of all, it was an age of great activity. Go back with me to Genesis chapter 4 in your Bible, if you will, and look with me at verses 16 down through verse 22. And this is what the Word of God says. Genesis chapter 4, beginning at verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch were born Irad, and Irad begat Mahujael, and Mahujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him 2 wives, the name of the one was Adah, the name of the other Zillah. And Adah bare Jabal, he was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal, he was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Now look again. And Lamech said unto his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken to my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. Now right here in this passage, you have the condition of the days of Noah. It was an age of city building. It was an age of violence. It was an age of music. It was an age of agriculture. And it was also an age of industry. And it was also an age of the preaching of the gospel. Last night we pointed out and compared the days of Noah to today, and we find that today we have, it's also an age of city building and music and so on and so forth. Now why do I tell you this? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Now in the days of Noah we find it was an age of great activity. Then it was also an age of the presentation of the gospel. Did you know that Enoch, who was taken by the Lord, he was the first man to go to heaven, a picture of the rapture in the Old Testament. Did you know that he preached the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Turn your Bibles and turn to Jude chapter 14, if you will, and see it for yourself. In the book of Jude chapter 14, we find the Word of God brings this out. And this was the message of Enoch that he preached before the flood. And we see it set forth for our learning. Listen carefully as we find it in the Word of God. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of thee, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. We're living in the day of today. I'll tell you right now, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is going around the world. I broadcast on a radio station in this area. But I also am I broadcast on the internet, and I'll tell you right now, I can be heard around the world 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. I never would have thought it to be possible, but it is. And we find very clearly we're living in the days of Noah, an age of great activity, and also an age of the preaching of the gospel. There was not only Enoch who preached, there was not only Methuselah, and if you don't know this, write it down in your Bible. The name Methuselah means, when he is dead, it shall be sent. And Methuselah lived 969 years, and he died in the 600th year of Noah, and in the 600th year of Noah, the flood came. So it meant this, that as long as Methuselah was alive, God would not judge the world with the flood. Now hold your seat and pay close attention. As long as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is here on this earth, the judgment of God will not come upon this world. But I'll tell you right now, we're not going to see that judgment. We're going to be caught away because we're living in the days of Noah, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. It was an age of great activity. It was an age of the presentation of the gospel, and then also it was an age of rejection of God against His truth. Now hold your seat again if you will. When an individual rejects Christ, this is what they do. First of all, they rebel against God's message. Now listen carefully. Noah preached. Enoch preached. Methuselah lived. And they warned the people of that day that a judgment was coming. They didn't listen to them. And what they did, I tell you right now, they rebelled against God's message. And we find you say, Preacher, what are you talking about? They rebelled against God's provision. God had Noah build an ark. And that ark is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It had three stories in it, one door in a second place, which is a picture of Christ. And we find very clearly that ark, the door of that ark, was open to all who would come. And are you listening? Only eight people in that age came, and all the rest of them died. The reason? They rebelled against God's provision. And then we find this is going on today. If you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to say to you very kindly, you need to repent and sue for mercy. On the basis that Christ died for sinners, you're the sinner. None of you here are too young to be saved. None of you here are too old to be saved. If you're between the ages of 6 and 60, you ought to be saved. And if you haven't been saved yet, my hope and prayer is that you will be, because I'm going to tell you right now, this may be the last opportunity you'll have. You see, every one of us here are by God's divine appointment. Last year when we were here, we waited for 4 days before anybody showed up for us to preach to. Last night, or Monday night, we came and we found out that there are very few. And tonight, we prayed and we said, Lord, fill this house and see how God answers prayer. Now, all of us are here by divine appointment. And I hope that you'll listen like you've never listened before. In rebellion, this takes place. There, first of all, is a rebellion against God's provision. Now listen carefully. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's provision for poor, lost, guilty sinners. Or have you ever been a sinner? Have you ever stood before God as a sinner? You know that you're a sinner outside in and inside out. You're a sinner from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. We've been born in sin because David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. And I'll tell you right now, everybody here in this room has to have a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, or else that individual is not going to go to heaven. Keep that in mind, if you will, because this is a serious hour, and I praise the Lord for the way you're listening. Rebellion against being saved is this. It's first of all a rebellion against God's provision, and Christ is God's provision. Secondly, we find it's a rebellion against God's purpose. Now listen carefully. Hold your seat if you will. Why are we here on this earth? We're here on this earth for three reasons. Don't ever forget that. I've come in contact with all kinds of teenagers because I work with the Civil Air Patrol and have done so for 30 years. And I've come in contact with teenagers and I've had them ask me point blank, Chaplain, why in the world am I here? All right, I'll explain it to you. You're here for three reasons. Number one, you're here to know God. Don't ever forget that. Number two, you're here to enjoy God. And when God saves you, He puts a joy in your heart that the world can't give, and He puts a song in your heart that the world can't give. And I'll tell you right now, you might be in the midst of sickness or calamity or anything like that. The Lord God of heaven still gives you a joy in your heart because of the fact that you're here. And we find you're here to know God, you're here to enjoy God, and then we're here to glorify God forever. Let me ask you a question. If my Lord were to come tonight, would you go to glory with me? You think on it. Would you go to glory with me? Yes or no? Not a hope so. Not a think so. Yes, so. That means that somewhere down the line, you met the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ met with you. And I'll tell you right now, when He saved you, you began to recognize this, that there a ransom was found, and love paid the price on Calvary's mound, and judgment was met, and we find mercy bestowed. And how wonderful it is when a ransom was found, and the Lord Jesus Christ is that ransom. In rebellion, there's a rebellion against God's provision. Then, there's a rebellion also against God's purpose. And then, last of all, there's a rebellion against God's Word. I've had people come and tell me over and over again, do you believe that Bible? I said, I sure do. Young man asked me one day, he said, do you believe that a giant was lifted, lived by the name of Goliath? I said, I sure do. He said, how in the world can an intelligent man like you believe such trash? I said, how in the world can a young fellow like you be so foolish? He couldn't answer me. And I want to say to you very kindly, beloved, the Word of God is absolutely so. God means what He says, and He says what He means. And how wonderful it is to be able to go to His Word and to have Him speak to our hearts and know that we are His children. And we find in rebellion, there's a rebellion against God's purpose, God's provision, as well as God's Word. Now why? Why does this come about? Because we find in the conspiracy of Satan. As I said before, I'll say again. Here we find the conspiracy of Satan in our lesson tonight. You say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? All right, take your Bibles now and go back to Genesis chapter 3, and I'll show you the beginning of the conspiracy of Satan. In Genesis chapter 3, we find in verse 15, Adam and Eve were standing before the Lord God of heaven. And we find the Lord God of heaven then began to speak with the devil because he was also there. And in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, the Lord said to the devil these words, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now what in the world do you have here? Here you have the first promise in the Bible of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to be born of a woman. That's what is known as the seed of the woman. Now, there are two seeds in the world at this present hour. There's the seed of the woman, which consists of those who are converted and those who are going to go to heaven. And then there are also the seed of the serpent, which are those who remain unsaved and die and go to hell that way. Now, Satan knew back yonder in the Garden of Eden that the Lord Jesus Christ was to be born of a woman. So he set out to do one thing. He set out to corrupt the human race so that the Lord Jesus Christ could not be born of a woman. Now take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 6, and we'll show you how it come about. In Genesis chapter 6, we find, beginning with verse 1, we read these words. Listen to it if you will. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Now, what in the world do you have here? All right, if you have a pencil, or you write, ever marked your Bible down, I'm going to give you a truth that the vast majority today don't seem to know. You can underline in your Bible, if you will, the sons of God. Now, listen carefully. In the Old Testament, Genesis and Malachi, in the Old Testament, the term sons of God always refers to the fallen angels. I trust you know your Bible enough to know that there are two classes of angels. One are the fallen angels, from which we get demonism, and the other are the good angels, from which come to take us to heaven when we leave this earth and go by way of the grave. Now, these fallen angels are known as demons, and what did they do? They followed the devil. And so what took place? Here we find in the book of Genesis and in the days of Noah, the sons of God were angels. And listen now, they were men. Now, there's no such thing as a woman angel. Keep that in mind. Angels are always mentioned in the masculine gender, which means they are always classified as men. And we find very clearly, now what happened? The sons of God were the fallen angels. And what did they do? They looked upon the daughters of men, which were good-looking women, like a lot of you girls right here tonight. Some of you look good enough to eat. And we find very clearly, you say, well, they were good and they were good-looking women, and so these sons of God, or fallen angels, did what? They married these daughters of men. Now, they had one primary sin, the sons of God. Now, what in the world was that? All right, keep your finger on Genesis 6. Go back with me to the book of Jude. And we find in the book of Jude, and we see very clearly, in that portion you'll have the sin of the fallen angels. And we see in the book of Jude, we see it set forth for our learning. In Jude verse 6 and 7, listen to what it says. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their habitation, he hath reserved an everlasting change under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, what was the purpose of the devil? All right, the purpose of the devil was to do what? To corrupt the human race so that the Lord Jesus Christ could not be born of the Virgin Mary. How successful was he? He was very successful, because only one family was not corrupted, and that was the family of Noah. And we find what happened. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God told him to build an ark, and you know the rest of it. And we find that when the flood came, listen now, when the flood came, there were only 8 people that were converted. That's a whole lot less than are here tonight. Just think of it. Only 8 people ever got saved. All the rest of them in that generation died and went to hell. And the reason? These giants, they were giants that were produced from the cohabitation of the fallen angels and the women. And we find there were giants, and they are called the Nephilim, which means the fallen ones. And when God sent the flood upon the world, you know what he did? He sent those giants to hell. Where are they now? I'll show you. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. See it for yourself. In 1 Peter chapter 3, remember now, we're still talking about the days of Noah. And this took place in the days of Noah. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 18, we read, For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. Now, here was the purpose of the devil. His purpose was what? The corruption of the human race, and we find so that the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ could not be born of the Virgin Mary. All right? What's the devil doing today? The same thing. Oh, you say, now, wait a minute. What are you talking about? He's seeking to corrupt the human race. Now, how's he doing it? He's doing it to keep you from coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles now and turn with me, if you will. Not only to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you'll see this set forth. And this is what the devil is doing at this present hour. And I want you to follow with me very carefully, if you will. Notice what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you or engaged you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled or fooled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might fare well with him. Now skip down to verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now here you have the corruption of Satan. He conspired in the days of Noah to corrupt the human race. He was so successful that only 8 people were converted. Now what's he doing today? I'll tell you right now. We find very clearly he has a religious aspect. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you have here, for such are false apostles or false preachers. Preacher, you mean to tell me there that there are preachers today that don't believe what God says? Yes, sir, there are. And when I was pastor in Elmont, Michigan, I was there for 35 years, and I watched 3 different preachers come to this particular church. And the last one that came turned out to be worst of all. That church was a liberal church to begin with. But this last preacher that came, and I think he stayed there until after I left. And we find I was at his installation service, which means that all the preachers of that particular denomination on the east side of the state of Michigan had gathered to question the man and then to install him in that particular church. They invited me. And when they invited me, I went. And we find I listened to what he said. He said a lot of things, but he didn't say anything. And he was good at that. And then we find they questioned him, and he answered the questions. And so then finally, the leader of the group turned to me, and he said, Reverend Nortier, he said, you are a guest, but he said, I will allow you to ask the candidate one question. I did. And this is the question I asked him. I said, where do you stand with regard to the blood of Christ? I'll never forget the answer he gave me. And that man is now dead. This is what he said. The blood of Christ is not necessary nor needed in our religious circles. And he went on to try to describe how that God was nothing but a bloodthirsty bully. He had a big church. And we find, but I'll tell you right now, he was an apostle of Satan. And there are many of them today. And you'll see if you ever listen to what you listen to on the radio, I'll tell you, you'll find out. There are many today that are preaching confusion instead of preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we find Satan corrupts by the religious aspect. In 2 Peter chapter 2, go to it if you will, and we find in verses 1 and 2, the Word of God also says these words for our learning. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth is spoken of. And I'll tell you right now, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, there's a church there that is pastored and has been pastored for a number of years by a false teacher. That was, at one time, it was a Baptist church. And it was a good Baptist church. And that church in the city of Grand Rapids was responsible for 32 Baptist missions being established in Grand Rapids, which developed into churches. That church today does not believe in the blood of Christ. That church today also has a homosexual flag flying over it, telling all those that are perverted and going down the road of homosexuality, they find out they have that flag, and those people see that flag, and they'll go to that church, and they'll know that they are welcome. Now, beloved, this is going on in this century. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Now, let's look at one more thing. We find also you have the secular aspect set forth, and we see it set in our churches. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you will, and let me show it to you. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, the Word of God says these things. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth-breakers, false accusers, incontinent or without control, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now you say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Will you look at it? This is what's found in the churches. But then I want you to know something else. I talked about the sons of God for a moment or two. And the sons of God are what we call demons. And we find, now listen carefully, there is such thing today as demon possession at this present hour. Let it soak in. There is such thing as a demon-possessed individual. I know of a young lady that came back from college, and she was possessed by this demon. She was living with her mother. In fact, I'll go even personal. It was Mrs. Taylor's daughter. Her oldest daughter, she came back from college, and she'd been possessed by a demon. And one day, she did this. She set her bed on fire, and she was sitting there in her night clothes, and her night clothes were burning around about her, and she never had a scratch, never had a burn of any kind. Her mother put out that fire, and her hands were so badly burned, she had to go to the doctor. When she came over and told me about it, I went over to her home, and I listened for a while, and her youngest son was there, and her oldest daughter was there, and all of a sudden, her oldest daughter reached over and grabbed her youngest son by the throat, and began to choke him with all the strength she had. And I had to break her wrist. Now, what am I talking about? Demon possession. In this age in which we are living, and you and I better be aware of it. Now, how can we be aware of it? I'm going to warn you. Have you ever heard of such a thing as a Ouija board? You can buy them in our stores today. But listen carefully. A Ouija board is used to call up demons. And my sister, at one time, had a youth group similar to this one. And one night, after hours, because they were all supposed to go to bed, the group of girls got together, and they got in front of this fireplace, and they got this Ouija board out, and they began to fool around with that Ouija board, and all of a sudden, a demon came out of that fire, and I'll tell you right now, he scared the socks off them, so many of them, that some of them got sick, they fainted, one young lady had to be taken to the doctor, and the other one had to sleep with my sister, she did not dare sleep alone, and this was a so-called Christian group. Satan is seeking to destroy you if you're a believer. And don't ever forget it. And always remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age. Why, preacher? We are living in the days of Noah. Now, let me stop one more thing, if I may. Another mark of demonism, I'll tell you right now, a mark of demonism is the fact that the vast majority today of our female, what are they doing? I'll tell you right now, they're displaying their wares. They're wearing clothes that are seductive and wearing clothes that are revealing. And when you go through the Bible, you'll find out that a demon-possessed man lived in the cemetery. He was possessed by a legion of demons, and he lived naked. And today, there's a cry across America. Oh, we want to turn our beaches out so that we can run around naked. And I'll tell you right now, that's an influence of the devil. And dear girls, I say to you right now, don't you let the devil or the world influence you on that. You dress modestly, and especially if you're a Christian, you boys do the same thing. And we find out why. Because we're living in the days of Noah, and Satan and his host seek to corrupt you and keep you from serving the Lord God of heaven and keep you from coming to Christ if it's at all possible. Now let me close. As it was in the days of Noah, even so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Now, what's the consequence of these days? We find the days of Noah are upon us at this present hour. Are you listening? One day, only God did it. One day, Noah finished that ark. And God said to Noah, he said, Noah, you take two of every animal, two of the clean and unclean. And he said, you march them into the ark. And God, we find very clear, I can picture that. I can picture the lions and the tigers and the wolves and everything like that marching into that ark. They walked up that gangplank into that second story. That's where the only door was. And as they walked in there, they went into that ark. And I'll tell you right now, there was only one window in that ark. And that window was the window up above so that Noah would look up all the time. And we find very clearly, what did they do? When that complement was filled, then this would happen. Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives went in. And God shut the door. Nobody could get out. Nobody could get in. And are you listening? 7 days later, the judgment of God fell upon that world. And God destroyed it with the flood. And every living thing upon that earth died, with the exception of those that were in the ark. Now, why do I tell you this? Are you listening? God's going to judge this world. And the thing that I want to emphasize is this. Right now, we are living in the age of grace. And we find Noah's day was an age of grace. But that age of grace ended abruptly. And the age of grace with regard to our present hour is going to end the same way. How's it going to end, preacher? When the last soul for whom Christ died in this dispensation is converted, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming after us. And when Noah and his family went into the ark, listen now, the world never saw them again, and they never saw that world again. And when my Lord comes after us, we'll never see this world again like it is now. And I'll tell you right now, the world this now isn't going to see us again either. But what happens is this. When God gets finished with this world and he's going to baptize it with fire, I'll tell you right now, we're coming back and we're going to live forever with him on a brand new heaven and a new earth. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go. You going with me? Oh, I hope and pray that you are. The only way you can, you've got to have a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you this question. Has the Lord Jesus ever stopped by your heart's door, opened your understanding, young as you are, shown you that you were a sinner, and shown you very clearly that you needed a Savior? And then, to your utter amazement, as he brought you under conviction, I'll tell you right now, you began to sue for mercy. And when the Lord God of heaven saw you suing for mercy, I'll tell you what he did. To your amazement and to my amazement, I'll tell you what he did. He stopped by your heart's door. He opened your understanding. And one moment, you couldn't believe. And the next moment, you couldn't help but believe. And you've never gotten over it. The greatest thing that can ever happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus to reach down and save you. We're living in the days of Noah. And we find in the days of Noah, they knew not until the flood came and destroyed them all. That means they were without a knowledge. They could have had it, but they didn't want it. And the same thing is going to take place on this world today. Oh, beloved tonight, I urge you as I've urged you before. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, ask Him right there to move upon your heart. Show you what it means to be a sinner and then save you by His grace. Shall we pray? Our Father tonight, thank you again for this opportunity and privilege. And we ask you, Lord, that Thou will just undertake for each one here tonight. Thou dost know the need of each one. And so, Lord, we lift them to Thee. And oh, we pray, dear God, work out Thy purpose for Thy glory in the hearts and lives of these young people. How we thank you for each one of them being here tonight. And we just ask you, keep your hand upon them in a special way. And Lord, if there's any of them here tonight that don't know you, open their understandings. And oh, our God, will you not even now speak to their hearts? We ask it in Thy blessed name. Amen. Shall we stand? I want our song leader and our people.